Did I get everything, Sue? Okay. So, everybody have a Bible? Open it to the book of Psalms, please. Chapter 103. If you do not have a Bible, there are ushers here that will bring one to you. Just go ahead and lift your hand. Good. Everybody has a Bible. Cool. You guys help one another find one. If that, you know how we do it. You know how it's done. Yeah. We all have our Bibles. Let's open our hearts. Father, we thank you, Lord, for saving us. We thank you, Lord, for your mercies that are new every day, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this place, Lord, for the gathering of your people, Lord, that we can come here and hear your word in freedom. Lord, we're so grateful for all your blessings and benefits that you pour out to us daily also. We lift up anybody who is in the body of Christ, Lord. I know a few people, my wife even, I lift her up to her. Anybody who has this sickness going around, the cold and respiratory infections, we pray that you would be with them, Lord. Help us all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So Psalm 103 is a psalm of David. It's a psalm of praise. Matter of fact, nowhere in this psalm are we going to see David requesting anything, just strictly praising God. So Psalm 103, let's read through it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Verse 6, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his way to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant and to those who remember his commandments to do them. 19. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his host, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So we see here in the first few verses, we see David blessing the Lord with all of his soul. This isn't the first time that we see David talking to himself, talking to his soul, telling his soul to bless the Lord. Now, oftentimes we always hear that word, bless you, God bless you, or he blessed me, or, you know, that word. So the word bless means to convey happiness upon someone else, to convey happiness upon another. That's why someone gave me a pair of shoes. I got blessed with a pair of shoes. They conveyed the pair of shoes to me, and now I get to enjoy this pair of shoes. So we actually, as believers in Christ, have the ability to convey happiness to the Lord. We have the ability to make the Lord happy. God is infinitely greater, of course, than any of us. And He's not waiting for us. There's nothing that we can give Him materially or anything that would make Him love us more or make Him be blessed in a sense. So we hear David here saying, "Bless the Lord with all my soul." What does the Lord require from us? All your soul. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5 says that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. With everything that is in us, we give you praise. When I read these first two verses, I realized the best that I can do just isn't enough. I don't know if you guys feel that way sometimes. Sometimes I have to speak to my own soul too. Why aren't you doing more? You know, are you blessing the Lord with your whole soul, or are you just coming to church? Are you blessing the Lord with everything that you have? Or are we just kind of ritually going through a process of coming to church and going home and coming to church and going home? And so often I and I'm sure many of us fail at doing this. And maybe it's during worship you can bless the Lord with all your soul. You have those moments where you really feel that you're giving everything to God. Or maybe during service you really have those moments that you're really giving your all to God. But then we have a majority, a big portion of our life, my life, where it seems like, man, I forgot to bless the Lord like for like a certain amount of time. Like I didn't even think about Him. So that's when I have to speak to my soul, just bless the Lord with all my soul. And when we forget to bless the Lord with all of our soul, that's when we fall into a certain type of ritual thing of just going to church. And that's a huge danger in the church. People just coming to church to do outward lip singing. Nothing gets me more. You know, when I was younger, I used to see people, like famous people, you know, and they would get caught lip singing. You know, you thought they were so cool. And then comes to find out they were lip singing. It's not cool. Sometimes I think that God looks at us, man, are you just lip singing? Or are you really giving God your soul, everything that you have? The Lord said through Isaiah in chapter 29, verse 13, "For as much as these people draw near to me with their mouth, and with their lips they honor me, but they have removed their heart far from me." Oh, I hope, pray that's not us. And if it is, God is always there for us, you know, just for us to say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I haven't been doing this the right way. I have been lip singing. I'm sorry." And when this happens, this usually happens in my life when I'll speak for myself, and I hope that it speaks to you also. When there's no devotion to God's word and no submission to His word, that I find myself like a robot. And no sooner as I find myself being a Christian robot, you know, it's a huge danger in my own heart, and that's when I found myself, man, I haven't done my devotion. Man, I haven't been reading God's word. What book am I going in? What's happening here? Eventually, we start following the precepts of man and doing what other people do. We start watching people instead of God. You know, the other day, it just happens the other day. That's why I like to close my eyes when I'm in worship and look down, because even during worship, when I'm supposed to be giving my whole heart to God and we're supposed to be giving everything we have to God and praising Him, the other day I found myself looking at Eddie's mustache and think in worship, you know, man, he has a cool mustache. And then and almost every time that I start daydreaming in worship, I'm always looking at Eddie, and somehow God always makes Eddie look right at me. And I go, it's weird. So I like to close my eyes and bow my head because we tend to look around a lot. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Are the things I'm doing at work blessing God? Are the things we're doing at home blessing God? Are the things we're talking about on the phone blessing God? Are the things we're drinking and eating blessing God? You know, are our wallets blessing God? Our finances, is our business blessing God? Everything that's within us. The way we treat our wives, is that blessing God? I mean, there's so many different things that we can bless God and make Him happy by doing. David here called upon his soul to bless God. And I find it very helpful in calling upon my own soul to bless God. I've been in this situation many times. This isn't the only time we find David talking to his soul. You know, in Psalm 42, he talked to himself, why are you downcast, O my soul? At this point in David's life, he understood that true worship of God was something from the inward man. True worship of God is something that comes from within our heart. It's not outward. The Bible says that everything that's done, that Proverbs actually says that the Lord weighs the hearts. The Bible has a lot to say about our motives in doing things. Matter of fact, I'm going to read real quick from Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Jesus here says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Chapter 6, verse 1, if you're turning there. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will Himself reward you openly. And that kind of goes along with blessing the Lord with all of our hearts. If we're blessing the Lord with all of our hearts, it's something natural. We don't have to go, you know, I see a lot of things, you know, every time you do something good, you want to make sure if someone else knows that you did something good, and or look at me, I'm reaching out here, I'm on social media, look at me, I'm giving something away, or look at me. Do it in the quietness of your heart, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 12 talks about rewards too. You know, every believer is going to be stand before the bema seat of Christ. That's the judgment of Christ. We're not going to be, you know, as a believer, we're not going to heaven, and God's not going to show us a whole big screen of all of our sins. We're going to see that shortly, that God has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. But one thing that we are going to be judged by is what our motives were in doing what we're doing for Christ. And they're either going to be burnt up if they were with the wrong motives, or you're going to be rewarded if they were with the right motives. Let's move on to verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Excuse me. There we go. You know, the nature of man is, you know, you want to know what's in it for me, right? It's natural to think that, you know, you got to get some benefits. You know, my first job, I was 16. I was a very bad boy. I'll just leave it at that, a bad boy. And my parents moved me to Illinois, where I would continue to be a bad boy, but I wanted to find a job. And I was 16 years old. And the first job that I had was for a hog farmer. And I said, oh man, I'm going to get paid. You know, where are my benefits? Get something. It was a pretty gross job. You know, I had to go and take out afterbirth that wasn't born from the cow. So my whole time I'm thinking, oh man, I'm going to get paid big bucks, you know. And this hog farm is like from here, like it's long before your eyes can't even see the end of it. And you have to go down the whole thing and then power wash. So when I got my check, I was like, oh, what? What's going on here? So I left there. I found a different farmer where I got a chance to bale hay. At the end of the day, my face looked like an alien because all the allergies. And you know, you have to move on that behind the tractor, get the hay, walk while it's driving. And you have to stack it before the next one comes up. So I did it for about 2 hours, and then I couldn't even see anymore. I didn't recognize, there's no mirrors out there. I didn't recognize that my eyes were closing. I get off, and I get a check for 15 bucks. I'm saying that to say this, that I naturally like benefits. You know, if I were to get a big check, I'd be like, yeah, okay, cool, whatever, I'll keep going, you know. But we naturally seek benefits. You know, if there's some type of job that fits, that have certain benefits that are going to bless your family more than this job, pray about it. Maybe God's leading you here to look out for your family in a certain way, dental, eyes, stuff like that. So there's benefits with all jobs. Well, us as Christians, as servants of the Most High, have the best benefits in the world. Okay? The best benefits in the world. And David here, in his praise, first off starts by saying, forget not all his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. We are prone to forget things. You know, we were just going through the book of Mark. We're actually still going through it in the high school group. And the disciples in one of the chapters, I think it was 4 or 5, I'm not sure, but they were with Jesus and they fed 5,000 people with women and children. No longer, about 2 chapters down, we just went through it the last time, and the disciples came to Jesus like, we don't got no food, what are we going to do? They just finished feeding 5,000 people. And here's the same exact thing, not too much later, and they already forgot, hey, God is able to multiply these breads and fish. So quickly we forget the benefits. Count your blessings. Have you ever sat down and wrote all the things God has blessed you with? It's an endless list, you know. It's just nonstop. I was thinking about it during the preparation. It's an endless list. And we see here, David is actually going to put forth a list of benefits that believers have. So here we go. Verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquities and who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. We see here it starts off with the greatest benefit of man that mankind needs, the forgiveness of our sins. No greater benefit, no greater gift, no greater need does mankind can get is the forgiveness of all our iniquities. Not some of them, but all of them. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 25 says, I, Even I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will remember them no more. You know, I'm sure David could have possibly been thinking about a few sins that he's had in his own life at this point. I mean, we know the story of David in 2 Samuel. The things that David did are forgivable. You know, when we comprehend the magnitude of our sins and the righteousness of God, when we understand both of these things, that should give us a staggering amount of praise. When we can understand how much of a sinner we are, and God's righteousness, and how he switches those, it's an amazing, amazing benefit. I was thinking, and I've heard this before, I probably even said this before, but I'll say it again. If I were to write every one of my sins that I knew of on these white walls, I could easily fill this whole... Now, I'm not saying, okay, I'm doing things all the time bad, but in my lifetime, I could probably fill all this wall with all my sins, the poles and everything. Now, if you think about that, I could do more rooms too, I'm sure, things that I've known and don't know. But if you think about that, that's one person. Then if you think about all of us in this congregation, how many sins that is. And then you think about everybody in Palm Desert. And then you think about everybody in the Coachella Valley. And then you think about continents. The world. Imagine how much sin he has forgiven on the cross. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all of it. I thank God for that. Second one we see here is that he heals all of our diseases. Not only does he forgive us of our sins, but he heals our diseases. Now, this doesn't mean that if you ask God to heal you of a certain disease, he has to do it. However, God is definitely able to do it. God is able to heal people of diseases. We've seen it before. We've seen people be healed before. However, it's if God wills. You know, you remember the guy in Luke chapter 5 when there was no space for him to come in and his buddies carried him in on a bed through the roof, and he looked at the guy and he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Get up and walk, healed." The first thing we need is our forgiveness of our sins. Jesus in the gospel healed numerous physical diseases. We're reading that. We're reading how many. We're only in Mark chapter 7, and he's already done so much stuff, so much healings and miracles. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17 says, "This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, that he himself, Jesus, took our infirmities and carried away our diseases." Now, through the study of this, there's certain people that believe, okay, this is talking about physical, earthly, you got to be healed right now on earth. It could be about both, though. Our ultimate redemption, where God ultimately takes us to heaven and we are healed and we are new, we have a new body in heaven. And if not, we will worship God with whatever ailments we have here until then. I've seen many people in the body of Christ who come to church every Sunday and every Wednesday they've went through a lot of stuff, liver stuff, heart stuff, and they still come to church and they still worship God. They still praise Him. But one day, there'll be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more hospitals, no more heart condition, no more medication, no more pills. God will heal us completely. Verse 3. Oh, I think I did that one. Verse 4. "Who redeems your life from destruction and who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies." He redeems your life from destruction. This is also, I believe, speaking of the same thing. It could be something spiritual, and it could be the ultimate destruction. It could be hell, or it could be things that maybe we put ourselves in on a regular basis. You know, we're not going to know what God has saved us from until our eyes are open that day. However, this is ultimately speaking of hell, spiritual destruction. I could count in my own life, and I'm sure you guys can too, various things that God has saved you from. Various situations. I know myself, the situations I've put myself in, it's only by God's grace that I'm standing here. I mean, I don't need to get into all of it, but the stuff that I put myself in and the people that I hung around with, God has saved me many times, physically here on earth and spiritually. Psalm 111, verse 9 says that He sent redemption to His people, and He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is He. Luke chapter 21, verse 28 says, "Now when these things," talking about the end events leading up to the second coming, "begin to take place, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh." Full redemption. Redeems. You know, God has redeemed us. He has bought back. I was thinking about the other day when we were at Chuck E. Cheese's, you get certain tickets, you play games, you get tickets, and then you go and redeem your prize. So God has fully redeemed us. He has paid the price for our sins, and we are no longer our own, but Christ has purchased us. So not only we see here in verse 4, not only does God forgive our sins, heal our diseases, save us from destruction, but He goes even further and He crowns us with His great love and His mercy. Praise be to God. Verse 5, "Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles." Who satisfies your mouth with good things that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now this is not implying that eagles have some kind of mystical power, self-renewing power, nothing like that, but that God renews the heart of His people, making them quick, making them see, making them be able to rise above. Isaiah said that we will rise up and mount on wings like eagle, wings of eagles. One other thing that stuck out to me is that I have never experienced the satisfaction ever in my life than when I came to Christ and got forgiven of all my sins. Never have I ever experienced any satisfaction in my life. Any time in the world, I was always seeking other things. And unfortunately, a lot of the times we can do that as believers too. Instead of seeking our satisfaction to be in Christ and Christ alone, we seek and put our satisfaction in our success, our things we have. But true satisfaction can be and should be and will be only found in a believer of Jesus Christ. Everything else is superficial and false. You see people who have millions and billions of dollars, multiple houses and all this stuff, you would think they would be satisfied. I mean, that's enough houses already, man. How many houses do you need to be satisfied? What else do you need? But their heart continually says, "I want more, I want more, I want more." God satisfies us with good things. Verse 6. "The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. I'm so grateful that the Lord executes righteousness for the oppressed. I'm grateful for that. You know, he imputed Jesus' righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says that he made him who knew no sin to become sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. We get righteousness through Jesus Christ. Second part says, and justice for all who are oppressed. How many are oppressed? All who are oppressed. The Bible says that all have fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody has fallen short of the glory of God. And I'm grateful that he has executed righteousness on our behalf. He made known his ways to Moses, Exodus chapter 33, his acts to the children of Israel. You know, aren't we grateful and aren't you praiseful and thankful that we have a God who makes known his ways to us? I mean, imagine if we just had a God who you don't know what's going on here. God initiated and made known his ways to us. He is the initiator of our salvation. He made known his ways. I was thinking about, okay, he made known his ways to Moses and to the people of Israel. What did he do to the people of Israel? He brought them out of the land of Egypt. I mean, he showed them many wonders, many different types of plagues. He split a sea open, okay? He showed them many, many ways, and somehow, like we do, they still forgot. Psalm 86, verse 11 says, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Chapter 25 of Psalms, verse 4 says, to show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. If it wasn't for God teaching us his ways, I would still be worse off. I mean, that God has given us his Holy Spirit, that God has taught us, that God has shown us different things in his word, how we are to walk, how we are to worship. I mean, he's laid it all out in this book here. He's showed us his ways. Praise God for that. Also that he's self-revealing. He's not hidden. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He is very slow to anger in dealing with us. Imagine if God wasn't slow to anger. I mean, imagine if he wasn't merciful and we've done something wrong. And boom, you get whacked down right away. You know, you get disciplined, boom, right away. No, but he's slow to anger. Merciful and gracious. There's this thing I was reading here. I want to read it to you. It's from John Corson. He said, one Thanksgiving, as I was teaching from this psalm, I was a single parent, and my kids, Peter, John, 7, Jesse, she was 5, and Christy, 3, were sitting in the front row. As they always did when I taught. This particular day, however, something got into them. Peter started giggling, and he poked Jesse, and Christy looked over, and Jesse hit her on the head. And at this point, I stopped my exposition on verse 8 and said, Peter, Jesse, Christy, come here. Terror filled their eyes as they made their way to me. I took them backstage where I knew there was a plate of gigantic peanut butter and chocolate chip cookies someone had graciously made me. After giving them each a cookie, I ushered them back to their seats. And then I said to the congregation, justice is getting what you deserve, a spanking. But mercy is not getting a spanking. But grace is getting a peanut butter and chocolate chip cookie. And that's the way of the Lord, because although we've conditioned to think that God is nervous and uptight, he's actually just the opposite, slow to anger and full of inexhaustible mercy. I thought that was so good, I put it in here. Great. Verse 11. No, we can't skip 10. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Why has he not dealt with us according to our sin? Because he dealt with someone according to our sin. That's the person of Jesus Christ. Why have we not been punished for our iniquities? Because Jesus Christ was punished on our behalf. Verse 11, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. How high is heaven above earth? Have you ever looked up and wondered how far, you know, the Milky Way and the galaxy? You know, scientists and people are still studying that, and now they've called it that we have an expanding universe now. I mean, it's growing and growing. They think they got a hold of it. However, as the heavens are high above the earth, we still don't know how far that is. That's how great God's mercy is to those who fear him. That's beautiful. And as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. You know, I did some research on that globe part and why they use the east and the west. Because if you go east on a globe, we've all seen a globe. Okay, you have a globe here. And if you continue to go east, you will never stop going east. However, if you use south and north, if you go all the way up to the North Pole, you're eventually going to have to come back down and go south. Whereas if you go this way, it's never ending. It's inexhaustible. God has completely removed our sins far from us. So why do we constantly think sometimes of our sins when God has removed them? That's a tactic of the enemy, to throw our sins back in our face. Verse 13, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. God knows our frame. How does he know our frame? Because God came in the flesh as Jesus Christ. You know, in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but in all points was tempted as we are, yet without sin. He knows our frame. He knows that we are dust. And he pities us as a father pities his children. You know, I've seen my daughter try to carry a huge bag of groceries in. Help you, Daddy? Help you? Okay, I'll help me. And she won't let me carry it in. She has to carry it in because she's going to help you, Daddy. So she gets it, and we have rocks. Oh, it's so hard for her to carry this bag. Or when she gets milk, she loves milk. But that jug, and you know, she's real brittle. She's petite. Just watching her, sometimes I watch her, and she puts all of her heart, all of her strength. She makes noises. And I pity her, and I say, oh, man, that's so cute. And sometimes God looks at us and he has that same type of compassion and pity towards us. He knows our frame. I know she's just a small girl. I know that. And God knows our frame. He pities us and has compassion on us. Verse 14. I guess I did that one already. Verse 15. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. Verse 16, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. Now here we see David here is talking about man's frame and dust-like nature. You know, the Bible talks a lot about our body is perishing on a daily basis. Someone came up to me the other day. They said, "Hey, I noticed you're getting a lot of gray in your beard." I said, "Yeah, I'm dying." I looked at him. I said, "I'm dying." "What's?" "Yeah, I'm dying. Every day when we wake up, we're one day closer to going to be with Christ. You got arthritis? That's a reminder. You're dying, okay? You got a certain condition? And God's reminding you that your life is but a vapor, James says. It's here for a second and then it's gone. You know, I see patients all the time. They're 80, 70 years old. They say, "Man, I was just like you, man. Just time flies by." I see over and over again. And even here in the church, time flies so fast. Are we blessing the Lord with all we have? Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he said, "Don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day." James said, "Our life is but a vapor." David here is saying, "Hey, we're dust, man." Horn says that the flower which faded in Adam blooms anew in Christ. I love that verse, or that quote. We're not going to be here very long. Rapture or not, time is ticking very fast. You know, it just seems like yesterday I met my wife, and it's been 4 years already. You know, we got kids coming, our daughter and another one on the way. Time flies. I'm seeing it with my own eyes. Verse 17, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children." I mean, this is not only true of God's mercy, but this is true of God in general. He's from everlasting to everlasting. His mercy is unfailing. And we see here a little condition that we see on those who fear Him. You know, in the study of this psalm, we must also remember that God's blessing on Israel depended on their obedience to Him. However, within the church, within the body of Christ, we also have that same type of obedience is better than sacrifice. We have that same initiative. If you want to live a joyful life in Christ, fear God and obey His commandments and see how much joy you can get from that. Those who remember His commandments to do them. Verse 18. "The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all." "Bless the Lord, you His angels who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word." I like verse 19. It says that the Lord has established His throne in heaven. God is enthroned in heaven. He's secure. He's on beyond the troubles of earthly corruption. Nobody's going to break into His throne and kick Him off. Nobody can do that. God's throne is secure. He's immovable. He's unshakable. "And His kingdom rules over all." He that has made all rules all. You know, I did a search on the kingdoms of the world today, and I was going to like start writing some down, but there were so many kingdoms. I was like, I'm not writing all these down. There's a lot of kingdoms. I mean, in Europe, in Africa, Asia, the Middle East, there's kingdoms after kingdom after kingdom after kingdoms all over the place. God rules over all. There's nowhere that God doesn't have jurisdiction, like He can't come here. Okay, God is the maker of heaven and earth. "Bless the Lord," verse 20. "Bless the Lord, all you His angels who excel in strength and who do His word, heeding the voice of His word." So this kind of a little shift here. Not only should the praise come from our own soul, but God deserves much more than that even. Angels worship God. This doesn't permit us from talking. I mean, it doesn't mean that it's okay to be talking to angels or anything like that. This here, we just see him in his praise. Then he goes even further and he says, even the angels worship you and praise you. What I see here too is that David, in his praise, is stirring up praise. Does your life stir up the praise in other people? Do people see your life and want what you have? Do people say, man, this guy really praises the Lord. This guy is genuine. This girl is genuine. Do we stir up others? You know, over one sinner who repents, it says that the angels in heaven rejoice. So I'm sure here when David was praising God, I'm sure the angels were like, yeah, man, look. Yeah, I'm going to praise God too, you know. I think of that every time I see one sinner repent. I try to think of like angels rejoicing, like what does that consist of, you know, like, you know, are they like pointing God, praising God? And that's something boggles my mind a little bit. Bless the Lord, all you his host. In other words, all of God's army. You ministers of his who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works. In all places of his dominion, bless the Lord, O my soul. So we see here David in this psalm praising the Lord with everything that he has. And in that praise, he goes on to list a few things. If these things don't make us praise God, there's something going on. If the forgiveness of our sins and the remember, let's not forget these things. If you can wake up every day and just remember that one thing, that God has forgiven you of all of your sins, that's enough to praise God for eternity. And not only that, but hey, he's put a crown on you of loving kindness and mercy. Praise God. You know? He's satisfied our mouth with good things. Look at all the good things that we have in our life. Can you imagine them without Christ? Would you be able to enjoy them? These are benefits from God, you know. We look at our wife, we look at our daughters, we look at our family, our mother, kids, whoever it may be. Can you imagine that without Christ? I know that these are benefits of God. One question that I was asked one time is, would you still worship God if there was no benefits? That stuck me in the heart. The answer is yes. But can you imagine? God is still worthy of all of our praise, and he doesn't have to give us anything. Can you imagine if there was no benefits and no heaven, and God was like, yeah, I'm God, and you guys, you could worship me or not. That's it. Can you imagine that? No, but God is so gracious and loving that not only does he forgive us, is that he fills our life with good things. He really does. Let's pray. Father, we come before you again, Lord, thanking you, Lord. We praise you with all of our soul. The only way that we can praise you with all of our soul, Lord, is by the power of your Holy Spirit. We can't muster up anything in our flesh. Our flesh cannot rise to the level of blessing you. It is only by your Spirit that we can bless you. So, Father, we just ask, Lord, that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would use us, that we would stir up people to praise you, Lord, that we would continually throughout the day bless you with our work, bless you with our heart, with our motives, with our business, with every single thing that we have. May we continually keep you in the front of our heart and our minds, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're on your throne. We thank you, Lord, that you rule over all kingdoms. We thank you, Lord, that you've saved us. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.